In our first scripture passage today, that's what we're gonna read. So if you would start, we'll start reading verses, chapter 21, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 6. And it says, "When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them.'" So some of you are probably thinking, oh man, she's got her seasons mixed up again. Let me assure you that when I was praying and God gave me Matthew 21 to preach today, are you sure, God? Because that scripture is usually used during Palm Sunday, not the first Sunday of the new year. But what God told me, what he showed me, is that this passage is a great passage about the preparation to fulfill what God had already started, and about being intentional in that process. God has already started, long before we got here, great things at CC NAS. And all he's doing is looking for people who will do as he's instructing. So if you haven't noticed in your bulletins each week, if you haven't been reading the overhead slides as they go by, there's a vision and mission statement that we've started publishing in there. And these are intentional statements, and I will attest it took one full evening to develop these statements from the leadership as we got together to adopt them in order to keep moving in a godly and centralized focus. Because sometimes the longer that you're in the church, the easier it is for us to get sidetracked of what we're really supposed to be doing. So I would like to look first at our vision statement. I think in the bulletin they're opposite, but we're going to look at the vision statement first. And it says, "We envision Christ followers being equipped and serving through Christian love and deeds in our church community." So another thing from Matthew 21, as I was thinking this, because see, all along I had intended to share vision and mission because, you know, that's where I was going in the new year, right? But then God throws in Matthew 21. So he had me read verses 7 through 9 as I was reading. And it says, "They," the disciples, "brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them. And he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Did anybody pick up on how these disciples were equipped? They had coats. Didn't seem like a lot, right? Today, some of us might have had coats or jackets. But the point is, that's all they needed. They had the coats, and they listened, and they were obedient. They used what they were given to serve those in their church community. They used what they had so that others had the chance to see and experience Jesus. Now, we all know it could have happened any way God wanted it to. It's up to him. But that's not the point. The point is they had coats, they listened, and because of that, people experienced and praised and worshiped Jesus that day. That's the point. You know what? Jesus gives us what we need too. to do what he asks. But there's a catch. Always a catch, right? We need to, one, make sure that we're listening for him to speak. He's speaking, but we need to listen. Amen. Two, we need to use what he's giving us to use. And three, we need to make sure that we're using it at just the right time for just the right purpose. I've said this before, and I'll probably say it 100 times since. It's, you know, as a mother, you do those things. But for those of you who are new, you know, some of you may not have heard it before. Some of you maybe chose not to hear it the first time because you didn't like it and didn't want to accept it. But the truth is, every one of us can do something. Amen. You name it. I can't think of something that someone can't do. Can't think of it. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be extravagant. No, none of that. It only has to come from your heart and from an act of your love to Jesus. Because he gives it to you, and he wants you to use it. He wants you to use what he's given you for him so that you can serve your church community. Now, this is where it gets sticky, because it's easy sitting in here on a Sunday morning. This is our church community. And you're right, this is our church community. But we have a church community. Some of them moved away. Some of them are in assisted living facilities some right now. Some of them aren't even here yet. But they're all our church community. And what he's telling us to do, he's telling us to do so that we can reach those people. So this leads us, me, to our mission statement. And this is, I'll explain that in a second. Let me read it first. Through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we exist to see people's lives transformed, empowered, and forever changed. Amen. So I have spent, this was a year ago, well, 2 years almost, I guess, that we developed this. And I thought, what are we doing with this other than putting it in the bulletin? And so it bothers me to spend any amount of time doing something and then not doing something with it. So I said, okay, I'm going to get serious. So I decided, okay, I got to remember this mission statement. So we're a church, I'm a Christian, we're a body of believers. Everything should be done through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So I thought, okay, I don't really have to remember that part. That should be a go-to, a given, right? So then I started to focus on, we exist to see people's lives transformed, empowered, and forever changed. And some of you have been at the receiving end of me spouting that off to you. As you've given me an idea, I've said, so, how is that going to transform, empower, and change lives? And some of you have caught that right away and spouted right back to me. Others, I saw, wow, that's a big responsibility. I don't think I've really thought this through a whole lot. But that's what God's been doing to me over the last several months when he's been saying, I want you to internalize this statement. You know, this statement was made by a group of leaders choosing to say they wanted to make a difference in their church community, and we need to do something about it. So this is where verses 14 through 16 come in when we're talking about the transformation process. It says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant and said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself? Now, to me, this is two great examples of transformation. One is a physical kind, very obvious. There's a healing taking place. Keep it in mind, in the back of your mind, remember, healing comes in many different forms. Physical is one of them, but it comes in many, many different forms. But the other one is of a spiritual kind, in the fulfillment of what God had already established. You see, back in verse 16, when Jesus says, "Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?" He was actually referring to David's words in Psalm 8, where David was declaring the transforming power of God to defeat the enemy. I believe this morning, we, as a body of believers, defeated the enemy. Because we choose to praise God regardless of what was happening around us. If you miss that, you need to rewind and go back. You don't need a body of believers to praise God like that. You can do it on your own, but it's much easier when we're all together, right? So Jesus at that point pointed out to these basically unbelieving religious leaders that the children were created to praise him. So when we begin to realize that we were created for God's purposes, that's when the transformation begins. We first have to believe that. We're no longer about our own selves at that point. We're about what God wants, what he wants to do through us. And it should be our mission to accept responsibility for ourselves, but not just for ourselves, also for those that need to hear the truth, those around us, right? We should want to share that truth with them as well. So let's move on. The next big thing in our mission statement is empowered. So in verses 20 through 22, it says, "The disciples were amazed and asked, 'How did the fig tree wither all at once?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.'" So let's get brutally honest this morning. How easy is it to have faith and not doubt? Anybody? Anybody ever, like, you know, do you have doubt, right? It's not always easy. But Jesus is saying that it is necessary if we want to accomplish great things for him. The disciples wanted to know how Jesus had just caused the fig tree to wither, right? Now keep in mind, these were guys whose lives God had already got a hold of and had been transformed. Yet, really what they were asking is how Jesus could be Jesus. Basically, they were saying, "Jesus, how is it that you can do what you really say you can do?" Now, these are lives that supposedly knew God, right? They knew Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They were already about doing his business. And yet, they doubted. They wondered. They questioned. But Jesus, in his faithfulness, empowers them when he says, "You know what? You can do even more. Stop looking. Stop looking at what I did and thinking, I want to do that. Start looking at what I'm telling you to do and go do that." That's that whole, as I see it, nutshell thing there. So now prayer becomes very important there. It's more than just a conversation. It's more than just asking God to do something and make this happen or make that happen. Here, I believe that Jesus is saying that if we allow and accept transformation in us to take deep root, we will be able to do everything, all, that we were created to do. But we have to truly believe that the transformation has taken place. Right? It's already happened, and we're open to be used however he wants to use us. Merriam-Webster, one of the definitions of empower, is to promote the self-actualization, that was very hard, or influence of. You see, when we're spiritually empowered, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, by God's Holy Spirit. It's not lightweight stuff. That's where I said it can get really rough. It can blow your mind, right? This is a serious empowerment. Very good. We are directly under the Spirit of the Most High. Wow. That's power. But, there's always a but. We go on to read in verses 28 through 32. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go to work today in the vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing, and he answered, "I will, sir." But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father? These religious leaders, they said, the first. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him, and you, seeing this, even this miracle, did not even feel remorse afterward as to believe him." So again, I think this passage is talking about two different kinds of people. The first is those that actually hear the call of God and initially refuse it. And there can be a multitude of reasons for this. For all of us, we might have many different reasons for hearing God calling us and shying away from us, for delaying the acceptance of hearing that call. Our scripture names a couple of disrepute people: tax collectors, prostitutes, people not highly thought of. But you know what? Think of any of your reasons. It could be any of those reasons. We could put those right there in that scripture. The second type of people mentioned are those that do hear. They hear the calling and they accept it. Yet, they continue to live their lives in the way they think is best, with no regard to what Christ is trying to say to them. I call these people the "I will do it my way" people. And yet, Jesus goes on to say in that scripture that it's those who initially reject the call that come back to him with remorse and believe his message of truth that are more likely to have the eternal relationship with him because they are willing to be changed. These leading officials, though, who say they're following God, are doing it their own way without listening to what Jesus is really trying to tell them and being willing to change and draw closer to him. They're relying on their self to display change in them and not the Holy Spirit. So like the first son, you are changed to make a difference. Don't worry, even today, that you might not be willing. The point is, when you are willing, He's there, and he's ready to change you. But we're changed not so that we can rest easy and be secured where we are and go on way like we want to. We're changed so that we can go into the world, wherever that might be that God takes us, and share your belief and your experience, your story of how God has changed you. So, I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to do what you say you'll do. If you've chosen to follow Christ, then follow him, but not just with your mouth. In the way you live your life, every day, every way, everywhere. There's a new song, newer now, out there that really encourages me. The first time I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. And it's not because I think I have to do all these things or I have to do it all. And it's not because I think that what I do will build a better, closer relationship with Jesus. You know, I do this, Jesus does this. It's not that kind. But it's because I want to do what he calls me to do as a way to show my love to him and to the world in which he has placed me. So, providing it's working, let's listen and watch Dream Small.
It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time the world says he cannot afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor at a tiny little church. 40 years of loving on the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've gotta do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With his great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small.
Now you see why I like that song. So the important thing is, and it said that, thanks to Pastor Leonard who had to redo the words on the video, don't buy the lie that you have to do it all. Because that's scary, it's frustrating, and what it does is it causes you to have a fear that stops you from doing anything at all. So don't think you have to do it all. You don't. You know, maybe you're just being asked to lay down your coat. Maybe you're being asked to do something that seems impossible. And maybe you're being asked to lead someone else to do what they've been called to do. Let me encourage you to be a part of allowing God to transform lives by empowering the people to be who they were created to be and to be a part of the change that happens in their lives and in their world. So for you this morning, if you're sensing that God wants you to do something, will you just stand up and walk up front? At one point, we're all going to get up anyway. But if you are someone that says, you know what, God is asking me to do something, and I just thought it was silly. Why would God need me to do that? Or if it's something that God, you know, God's been asking me to do this, and I don't even know how to begin doing that. That scares me to death. Will you just stand and walk up as a proclamation, as we lift our voice in prayer, of your obedience to him, just like the disciples? You heard him talk, and now you're saying, I'm going to listen. I'm going to do. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a change that God is making and creating every day, a change that draws me closer to him and empowers me to do what only he enables me to do. I want to say, I will, and then I want to do it. That's what I want. Feel free to continue to move if you want to as we pray. Lord, we know that we are all being called. Whether we even have a relationship with you right now, Lord, the truth is you're calling us. So we have a choice to respond. We thank you for giving us that choice. But Lord, for those of us whose lives have been transformed and are being transformed, we need a better way to communicate how awesome you are and how much of a difference you can make in a life that's willing to be used by you. So Lord, this morning, we lift our voices together saying, we hear you, we want to be obedient. Lord, we want our lives to continue to be transformed so we can share that. And Lord, then we want to empower those who maybe feel they can't do it. Lord, we just need to remind them that you're already doing it in them. They just need to let go and do it. And Lord, then we want to celebrate in the change that you're bringing into our lives, into our hearts, into our church, into our community. So Lord, that we can be all about serving you from our hearts filled with love. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you. And Lord, we pray today that not one person leaves this sanctuary the same as when they entered it. May they feel and know, realize, accept, and believe your transforming power.